Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you because you're so good, Lord. Whenever my mom passed away 35 days ago, and my brother too, it's been hard, but we remember the body of Christ that's around us, the body that is supportive of us and shared with us and also struggle with us. We pray, Lord, that you will be with us this morning as we share your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I accepted Christ when I was 17, a few years past your age, and I went to a mid-sized church. The church I went to did not have a pastor, and so I was baptized by a former pastor who we invited to baptize a few of us. And in the third year of my faith, we finally found a pastor, but all the way from Singapore, which is 6 hours away from driving back to Kuala Lumpur. And so the pastor would come 2 weeks, two Sundays, from Friday to the next Sunday, 10 days, and then he'll go back to Singapore for the next week. He'll be in Singapore, and then he'll come back the next 2 weeks to Kuala Lumpur to pastor the church. So you can see that it's not an easy job. But in his absence, we grew a few, like my youth group, which is English group. It was new in the church, so there were around 20 of us young people, and we were the choir, we were the Bible study leaders, we were everything. Okay? There's nothing we didn't do. Okay, and during Bible study time, no matter you're old or new, they'll pass a book, a commentary to you. And I realized upon my 10th attendance, everybody had to do their share. So I was given the book. Here's your turn. So I would have to learn very fast. And all I do is ask questions, and everyone will answer. And when they ask questions, I don't know how to answer. Everyone would jump to my rescue. And that's how we learn. But by the time I was 19, 2 years after I accepted Christ, I had to lead the 12 years old to the 14 years old. Bible study. So all of us, like you guys, we will come together and take a chair from the room, and we'll go and sit under the tree because we ran out of space, and then we'll do our Bible study for 1 hour. And after that, a few years after that, I went to the seminary. Now, what do you think of the church today? Is your church weak or strong? Is your church healthy or unhealthy? Is your church united or is it divided? These are some of the questions Paul have to answer in Ephesians 4. Now remember, Paul spent 3 years with the church, so he has authority on what he said. So let's go straight to the text so that everyone can finish in time. So in Ephesians 4, there are three principles we can live by as we consider the church. First of all, in the church, we as the church people, we got to live passionately, not contentiously. Don't fight in church, okay, over a lot of other things, because that's almost like the DNA of the church. They keep on fighting, okay. Let's read the verses that are in here. 1, 2, 3. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be humbly humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit to the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope. When you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why he says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives. There's a story about a priest who was invited to a political party, and because he's an important religious figure, he sat on the platform. But when he sat on the platform, he was sitting next to a disbeliever, an unbeliever. And so, of course, that unbeliever, skeptical of Christianity, lean over to the priest and said, "I hope you forgive me for saying so, Father. but I never go to church. And so the priest said, oh, why not? Frankly, sir, the reason I don't go to church is because there are so many hypocrites there. Okay? And the good priest said, that shouldn't keep you away, because there's always room for one more. There's always room for one more. We are all forgiven sinners or unforgiven sinners, but that's who we are. So, in chapter 4, back to the text, okay, Paul begins with this infinitive. As you look into verse 1, the infinitive is the word to live. Okay, infinitive is usually say purpose. Paul urged, persuaded, just as I'm trying to urge you guys now, to live the life. In Greek is to walk, okay? To walk the way you do your stuff, the way we are, okay? What does it mean to live a life worthy, to walk worthy? That means that our conduct, our character, and our conversation must be the same as you go to church every Sunday. It must be compatible. It must be congruent. It must be consistent with our calling. And as you see that, Paul says three things: humble, gentle, and be patient. You see that in verse 2? Okay. And this is how you are to be as a Christian. Okay. What does it mean, humble? Humble is from the word mind. Okay. In your mind, you are supposed to be humble with people. And the word gentle is the word meek. It's not just the mind, but the heart. And be patient. Be patient is the Greek word for long. To not just vent, but take some time. Not take some time to vent, but take some time to control yourself before you say anything. So this is how you should live a life worthy of the calling. That you be humble in your mind, okay, and you be gentle in your heart, and that you give time for yourself and for others. Okay, and the next thing he talks about are the two participles, the ing words. Okay, the first ing word is bearing with one another in love. The second one is verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Okay, and one is one another. Okay, and one is and about God, the Spirit of peace. Okay, one another means that we have to be patient with each other, but not just for the sake of being patient, but because we are called in the Spirit to keep that bond of peace. And so but yet on the other hand, the church is a hard place to continue to work together. Let's take a look at the next chart. This will keep y'all guys glued. Okay, as you look in the passage, you will see what number stands out. The number 1. Okay, so this is the chart. Paul says we are one body, which means we belong to the same family. We co-walk together. We are all saints. And Paul says we have one Spirit. That means the Spirit gives us fruitfulness, and the saints, the Spirit is our comforter, and He seals everybody, one of us, in the body. And Paul says we have one hope. It means we have one future, we have a certainty, and because of that, we have comfort and solace. And verse 5, Paul says we have one Lord. Means that we are following Him altogether. He is our Christ and our Savior. And Paul says we have one faith. Means we have the same foundation, we have the same confession, and we follow the same Bible, the Scriptures. We have one baptism. Means that we are one flock belonging to one sheep, and we are committed to each other. And we have the same share together. One God and Father means He's our Father, He's our Creator, and what's the last word? He's supreme in everything we do. Okay, but go back to the passage just now. Before, okay. Now, what is the repeated word? Listen very carefully. This is a trick question. What's the most repeated word in this text? Huh? One occurs like 9 times. There's one word in the whole chapter that I give you that will occur 16 times. It is in verse 6. What's the most repeated word? Oh, You see, it's a trick question. Just as you see 1-1-1 in the whole chapter, Paul, nine times is one, okay? But remember, even that, you look at verse 7, Paul ends it very perfectly. He say, each one of us. Paul didn't say all us. He ends with each one of us. That means we are one as an individual, but we are all interdependent on each other. So in church, we don't force people to be like a cult. You are still an individual, but that's the collective part of you. And there's respect for people and not just blindly following other people. Each of us means that we are all distinct. We are all different, and we are all diverse in our thinking. So to be able to have proper respect is one in all, each of us. Okay. Secondly, Paul not only to be asks us to be compassionate, to be gentle and humble. The second point, we are to live consistently and not childishly. Next one, yes. Okay, so let's read the next passage. 1, 2, 3. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all attain God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of fullness. Then we'll no longer be true infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds up itself in love, as each part does its work. So Paul, in this passage, second point is asking them to live consistently and not childishly. Now, last year I met some mom in this church, a mother, okay, and she was bringing her two kindergarten kids to the church. As I was waiting for the lift downstairs, they came down from the lift. And the moment she and her two kids exited the lift, the lady saw me and recognized me. I forgot where I saw her before because I taught many Sunday school classes. And as I was about to enter the lift, the mom, in excitement, wanted to introduce the two kids to me. I was waiting to get in the lift, but I was stopped. And she said, Moksi, Gil Moksi, this is the pastor, great pastor. And the two kids look at me, taken aback, look at me and scan me over, and they didn't call me pastor. They said, Grandpa. Yeah, yeah. They said, yeah, yeah. And I was like, don't ever call me again. Kids, don't ever call me again in church, okay? Now, Paul, in this next passage, go back to the text, okay, tells us that Christ gave the church, not just the pastors, but the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, for the work, which is to equip his people for works of service. Now, this might surprise you. Me as a pastor is not supposed to do everything in church. I'm supposed to equip you to do everything in church. To equip who are the people? The people for works of service. Being in the Asian setting, we usually think the pastor is the grand boss. Okay, he does everything. But it's not. It's the people who are doing the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Okay, God's blueprint is for you, not me. Okay, I'm supposed to train you guys so you guys do the ministry, and you guys, to empower you guys, and also to employ your gifts for service. If just me alone, just preaching, what does it do? We need the band, right? We need the ushers. We need a lot of people in order to every day to set up the church. It's very hard job to do. Like yesterday we were meeting with the, how are we going to cater for the next lunch? These are things that not, if everybody waits for a pastor to do, it's impossible. So, but all of us as leaders, we are supposed to equip the youth have their job, the adults have their job, the musicians have their job, so that the body of Christ will be built up. Okay, so the church is not about the pastor. The church is about the parishioners. Okay, understand that. It's not about the clergy. I'm a clergyman. But it's not about the clergy, it's about the church. Right? It's not about, it's about the believers themselves, the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We are his beloved. So everyone should be involved. Now, next page. This word, the first word, what is the word called? Hina. What is the word Hina translation in English? In order that. There are two in order that. What's the first in order that? They are no longer infants. That you're no longer children. Okay. My nephew in the United States have two young kids. He had this famous saying about kids. Kids, eat, cry, sleep. Okay? So Paul says, don't be like children. Okay? Children are good, they give us a lot of joy, but sometimes they're innocent. Sometimes, most times they're immature and very impressionable. Don't be like them, because you are supposed to lead the church. God builds you up so that you are no longer infants. You are, when, what happened to infants? The waves will toss them and the wind will carry them. Huh? Waves will carry them and then the wind will come and carry them. So this are the two. You see the tossing and carrying? This, when you have the ing at the back, means it's a how. What happens to children? Okay, the seas will drown them, the winds will sway them. So don't be sank by all the wind and the seas. And the second ultimate purpose, the second in order that, first is not be children. The second is to grow up into him, into his head. Speaking the truth in love is not the main point. The main point is to grow into him. Okay? And how is this word grown used in the Bible? Jesus uses for the, look at the lilies of the field. They grow, okay? Like lilies and mustard seed, they grow. But this is the same word for Jesus and John the Baptist when they grew as a young child. So it's biological and it's also talk about agriculture. But it talks about growth anyway. What does it does not just mean grow in how big a size some people are, okay? Not the measurement, but in your maturation, in your mindset, okay, and in your makeup. Of course, young people. When Jesus was 12, he was already asking questions in the temple, and he was astounding the believers. And I'm sure you guys are over 12, right? So yours can grow. And how do we grow? This is the participle. Speak the truth in love. Every family, every church, every fellowship that can speak the church in grow in love is mature. If you don't, are not able to do that, you will always live in fear. Being Asian families, we cannot. It's very hard for us to speak the truth in love. What does it mean to speak the truth in love? Now, remember, this is just a how. The main point is to grow. But to grow, one of the characteristics, how of growing, is to be able to speak the truth in love. What does speak the truth in love means? It means that speak the truth is tough, in love is tender. So it's tough and tender. What does speak the truth in love means? Speak the truth is all head knowledge, right? All your information, but it's true. But in love, it's very different. It's not head knowledge. It's heart. It's a heart beat with other people. Speak the truth. like we leaders like to speak the truth. We talk about responsibility. But in love, it talks about relationship. If you don't have relationship, people don't listen. Chinese say what? 有关系就没关系啦, huh? 没关系呢就有关系啦, huh? If you don't have relationship, then it'll be problematic. If you have relationship, then it doesn't matter. So the church, in the same way, remember two purpose? Try you guys. What's the first purpose? To be what? No, not be what? Not be childish. Okay? Second one is what? To grow. Okay? Because a child cannot grow, but you all have to grow. Okay, now into our last point. Hang in there. Okay? The last point is to live. This is a new word. See, you guys know this word. Circumspectly. Okay? Ooh. Not, I changed it to carnally, now it's still crookedly. Okay, so let's read verses 17 to 25. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, and separated from the life of God, because of ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, with a continual lust for more. That, however, is not the way you learn. When you learn about Christ and are taught in Him with accordance to the truth that is in Jesus, you are taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are members of one another. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down when you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with work, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not any stuff come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others according to their needs, that it may benefit those whom you will seal for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ forgave you. Now, there's a this story about this tourist who came to the island of Madagascar, and he noticed that there were Christians in the island, and they were getting baptized as he was there. So this tourist asked, "Oh, what made you guys think of becoming Christians?" He asked the natives, "Was it a special sermon a pastor gave you guys that you were converted?" And but the natives said differently. Said, you know, no, because we know of others whose lives were changed. This man was once a thief, and this other man was once a drunkard, and another man was very cruel and very unkind to his family. Now they are all changed because of Christ. The thief is an honest man. The drunkard is sober and respectable. And the other person who is not good to his family is gentle and kind in his home. And the reason why we accept Christ is because we believe there's something in the religion that can work such changes. Okay. And back to the passage. Better give me the chart so that they can pay attention. Okay. Now, Paul says that... back to the previous one. Now this is next one. Number three. One more. Okay. Paul says that don't be like the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Now, in English, there's this word called nous, which means the mind. Okay. And Paul is using this nous to say the Gentiles, how do they live? They are in their mind. They're corrupted. Okay. In their understanding. The dire is all the way in their mind. Okay. And in their ignorance. Again, the word agnostic, agnoa. Okay. So, Gentiles, their minds are corrupted. That's what Paul is saying. Okay. Next one. So Paul says that our purpose is the three purpose: to put off our deeds and desires, to make new out by the Spirit in your mind, again the word nous, and to put on righteousness and holiness. What are these three things about? Put off, make new, and put on. Put off is to remove. Okay, make new is to redo in your life. And put on is to replace what has been taken off. And as you see, it's very, very interesting. First one, deeds and desires, talks about your behavior. Okay, in your mind, it talks about your being. Okay, and the last thing is righteousness and holiness is your belonging to Christ. It's the belonging to Christ as a child of God, what you are to do. Now, this one is even more drastic. The next one, the next chart. Now, this will blur your eyes, but Paul has said 11 imperatives. Imperatives are orders or commands in the Bible. Okay, the first one is talk it out. Speak truthfully to your neighbor because we are all in one body. This one, four, because it talks about transparency as believers. The second imperative is to angry is the imperative. Be angry, but do not sin. They are the two imperatives. Okay, to temper your anger. Okay, a person who's not angry is not a saint. It doesn't exist. A person who's never angry does not exist. A person who's never angry doesn't make you a good Christian. It just means that you don't exist. Okay, you be angry, but remember, do not sin. Okay, and this is the first of a few never, okay? Never sin. It's contrasted with angry, but never sin. That's what it's saying. This is a very strong no about your temperament. And the third imperative is to trim the time. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Don't get over your anger before it's dark. Not like before 8 o'clock at night. But it means that don't make the day dark. Okay? And the timing is important. The fourth imperative is do not give the devil a foothold. Thwart the devil. Okay? And again, it's just not even. Remember, temptation. Don't let the devil tempt you guys. The fifth one. Steal no longer, but must work. These are the two imperatives. That means Paul is not talking just about stealing. Paul says that you work so there is something to share. Paul is not about yes and no, but to work hard so that you can come to church and you see somebody, your friend in need, you can buy him an ice cream. Something to share. Get what I mean? And because you have to toil for what you have, sometimes you have to earn money. I know a lot of young people, they take summer jobs so that they can make some money, not just for their own needs, but also to take people out for lunch. Okay. The next one is to do not let any unwholesome talk come out. Tame your tongue. Okay, this is the word never again. Check out your talk. How you guys talk. And oh, by the way, when I work with young people, after every Sunday, every 2 weeks or so, I have to sing out one young man and say to him, remember, in fellowship, don't use bad words. I always have to do that because now I'm smarter. I'll do it before fellowship. Okay, before we enter the room, remember, don't say bad words, okay? And they last for like 1 hour. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. This is to enjoy and taste the Spirit in your life. You can triumph with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to live the defeated life. And then to transform your heart, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling and malice, slander and malice. These are all the negative things in life. Do you still live like that? Paul says that get rid is means what? It's trash. Get rid of them. Okay, don't let it continue. And the last word is to treasure the person. It's not just about talk, okay? I talk about tough and tender, right? I talk about responsibility and relationship. I talk about head and heart. So Paul ends it with treasure the person. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Okay, this is talk about your testimony. So there are many things. We have 16 minutes. Wow, pretty good. Huh? Paul talks about how we as the Church of God, we can be able to live together. Okay, first of all, we take away childish things, right? And we have to be consistent in our Christian lives. And finally here talks about we have to be able to live compassionately, to be able to help one another. In the Church of God, we have to learn to be candid, to be courteous, and to be considerate. It's very hard to do fellowship in church because people have very hard feelings very fast, no matter what you say, okay? They have to say please, thank you, I'm sorry, all this in order for people to like come back to church and fellowship. So it's very, very hard. But Paul says we are not to be childish, not to be like the waves and the winds that will sink you. Okay, we have to communicate, but we don't have to chastise people, correct people, or even criticize people. And Paul continues this always positive, to be able to share, to be able to give to other people, okay? And Paul ends, get back to the lesson, he always ends with one another. If you go back all the way, the first imperative, you read the text is one another, it ends with one another. In the between, he will love imperatives. So, the body of Christ is for one another. So, we are to be able to we don't come to church just because we feel privileged. We come here because we feel powerless. But because we feel powerless, we can always have share together and be able to have more power when we share together. This week has been a hard week for me, but I have young people and I have people who said, "Oh, Pastor, I'll go with you to KL." Even young people, I say no, I can go back by myself. And some say I buy you plane tickets. I say no, you don't need to. So there are a lot of people who care for me, and that's what the church is about. Okay, people who just say a few words to you. Actually, you do. Some people give me $1,500 on my desk. I said no. I said, and they try to persuade me. It's not for you. It's for your brother's family. I say no. In the back of my mind, in the church, you always have to report what we have given. So I want one less hassle, okay? But people in their heart are very, very good. So it's like you just share an apple or an orange or just a WhatsApp or just a call, and people's hearts are touched. We don't need people to do the grandest things for us, but we do for one another. Remember, in the church, we are not passive. We don't want to be always on the receiving end, but we all can be receiving and all can be giving. Okay, and like I told you, I have a lot of experiences in church. So we're working with young people. Once a month, I have to tell them not to say bad words. Okay, I have to check on them a lot of things because I'm also helping out with young people. So once a month I have to check with one person who's dating a non-Christian. So there are many, many things we have to run through, but we always do it, speak the truth. What's the next one? In love. Okay, always speak the truth in love. Okay, let you guys have fun. Next one. Ah. One is S with T, two S with T, oh, three S with T. Oh, one with D and R. In the body of Christ, we are called to be what? His what? Huh? We cannot be spirit, okay? The first one, the small S-A-I-N-T, saints, okay? We are all called to be holy people. Okay, that one failed. Second one, his what? Who are you guys? The second one. Student. Student of God's Word. Okay, you come here because you study God's Word together. Ah, this middle one, you don't want to be. Servant. Okay, you don't want to be, but we are called to be his servant. The fourth one. Not bad, but servant is really stupid. Ah, I say you are all leaders, right? What are you called to be? Shepherd. Yeah, shepherds of God's flock. And what's the last one? Ding ding ding. We don't want you to be weak all the time. We want you to what? Strong as a soldier. Okay? Yeah, be a soldier of Christ. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for giving us young and old, men and women, and weak and strong, that reflects the church, Lord. And we are called to be a saint, to be a servant, to be a student, to be a soldier, and what's the second last one? To be a shepherd, Lord. So continue to help us. We are all frail, and we are very, very fragile, we are very feeble. But in you we are strong, and we are to be strong in the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.